Welcome to the National Presbyterian Church podcast. I'm Pastor Ray Hilton, and I'd like to personally say how thrilled we are to share our sermon with you this week. If you feel encouraged by our messages, we invite you to hit the subscribe button so you will never miss an episode. Now, let's go to the National Presbyterian Church sanctuary and hear the word of the Lord.
The scripture reading today is from James chapter 3, verse 13 through chapter 4, verses 3, 7 through 8, found on page 982 of your pew Bible. Hear the word of the Lord. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness, born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And the harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and do not have it. So you commit murder, and you covet something and cannot obtain it. So you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
That was a delight. I love seeing baptisms, and I love seeing all of our little children up here celebrating with the Kim family today and all the other times they get to participate in the sacrament of baptism. So I just love this. I'd like to start by just give you a little bit of reflection on what I thought about last week's sermon. So you know what a mom friend is, right? A mom friend is somebody that you are a friend with because you guys are moms together and you're raising your kids and you're supporting each other. So one of my mom friends is a mom to four boys, and she's also a first grade teacher. And she would teach her children and her class this little saying. When you wonder about whether or not you should speak up and say something, the first question is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? Is it helpful? If you say no to any of those four things, you better keep your mouth closed. That was the advice. Now, I have to admit that that phrase popped into my head last week when Dr. Hilton was preaching. If you remember, his topic was taming the tongue. And it was really a helpful message. You can re-listen to it, maybe again, go to the NPC podcast, or perhaps go to our watch page and look for the sermon for last week and re-watch it, because the takeaway is really important for us on our Christian walk, because what flows from our hearts is what eventually comes out on our lips. So our words can offer either blessing and mercy and grace, or they can be very hurtful and wounding. And so, as Dr. Hilton challenged us, that's why it's really important for us to allow Christ, through the Holy Spirit, to dwell richly in our hearts. When we're more like Jesus, Jesus will give us that love in our hearts that will flow out from our lips, and we will bless others, and we won't cause pain or lasting damage. Today, the passage from James asks us to embrace a bigger concept than just our speech. James invites us to consider our motivations and our actions through the lens of wisdom, so that the lives that we live honor God and then turn around and invite peace into our world. Before we dive in, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each one of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The opening verses from this passage compares the effects of two kinds of wisdom. With one type, you'll see gentleness and peace and mercy, and good fruits will flow from it. The other, on the other hand, has envy and disorder and wickedness flow from using that kind of wisdom. James sharply draws the contrast between these two to encourage his audience to choose wisdom that comes from God. Because that other wisdom, which is human wisdom, that results in upheaval and strife. Human wisdom is grounded in our own selfishness. It emerges out of our perspective and our own experience. And when we use that, conflict and disputes can arise. When two people look at things from a different vantage point, it can be hard to find agreement in the middle sometimes, especially when one or both of us are really having a hard time letting go with our need to be right. One of the biggest fights my boys ever had erupted out of one son thinking that his brother wasn't seeing the issue in the right way. And his perspective, the first son's, was the truth, and his brother's perspective was wrong. Guess what? My other son, he had the exact same thought, but from the other side. That fight, there was a lot of pain in that fight. And it took quite a while for harmony to be restored, for them to show grace to one another and to forgive one another. I think that conflict bloomed because my boys' perspectives were grounded in their own faulty wisdom. There are a lot of examples of bad things coming out of our selfishness, or from things that are not so great when we have our desire to shade the truth, or the things that can come out of our own envy of someone else's circumstances. You all know those examples too. When we consistently look at issues and interactions, when we have these dreams and longings that flow out of our flawed perspective, and when we only think of those flawed perspectives and apply that wisdom to the context, there's chaos. Now, I have to admit, sometimes our human wisdom leads us to things that turn out just fine. When we ask ourselves, there's no problem. But James is saying that actually, that isn't really accurate. Actually, desire produces disorder and perhaps even wickedness when we apply our own wisdom to situations or circumstances. And it's not just that we see those things here in our own little context of the DMV or even across the United States. We see that people in other nations contend with that same chaos of human wisdom. And we read about or we see the repercussions in our news feeds. There's corruption, malfeasance in all sorts of areas. Conflict and war erupt. And then we see the infliction of needless pain and suffering. And even decisions that arise out of collective wisdom or collaboration between a bunch of people, even that wisdom can be faulty. If we aren't asking for God's guidance, then we're still relying on human experience and human opinion to solve our problems. Last Friday, Francis Collins, the former director of NIH, spoke about his new book, The Road to Wisdom. And that was for the Trinity Forum. Of course I watched, because what's The Road to Wisdom? I didn't finish it, so I can't share any of his insights, but I do encourage you to get the book. I did start it. It's pretty good so far. But Dr. Collins shared this sobering statistic. And keep in mind, he is a scientist. But let me tell you his quote. 50% of what we think we know is wrong. And we just don't know which 50% is right. So see, if we're leaning on our own wisdom, chances are we're going to get it wrong. Our own wisdom isn't even a speck of God's wisdom. So why do we insist on following our own opinion without pursuing God's perspective? James makes the case that we lean into our own wisdom because we seek to gratify our own desires. We are selfish at our core. We want what we want. So our craving for pleasure or power or prestige, our longing for control, or the manipulation that we have to use to maintain that control cause problems. So does our aspiration for wealth or acquiring beautiful things. When we seek to satisfy our lusts, especially at the expense of others, troubles arise. And we, I think, can be aware sometimes of our selfish desires. But actually, if you really think about it, deep down, there's still a craving that we have, a compulsion even. James uses that word, compulsion, to act on those impulses and make choices or behave in ways that result in distressing outcomes anyway. To be honest, I thought about that exact compulsion when I was listening to the sermon last week. I'll let you know my thought process for that last week. I know that it's wrong to gossip, but I really want to do it with my friends. I know that it's bad to stretch the truth, but somehow I think that my exaggeration will help me get my point across, and so I go ahead and lie. It's a compulsion. I think the reason that we have those cravings and we feel that pressure to do what we know is wrong arises and comes out of our humanity. Scripture teaches us that our human natures are flawed. We are sinful people. And what flows out of our nature is selfishness, bitter desire, and turmoil. But I have good news. There is another way. We don't have to settle for the discord that erupts out of our own self-serving desires or our bad behaviors. When we turn to godly wisdom and embrace it wholeheartedly, righteousness and peace will flow lavishly. Godly wisdom is pure. It has no trace of partiality or hypocrisy. Divine wisdom is peaceable and gentle. It is willing to yield. It is full of mercy and good fruits. When we use wisdom from God, we will arrive at that place that gives us peace. We will see good fruits come out of our decisions and our actions. We will let go of our worldly view of power and significance and embrace God's perspective instead. And when we do that, when we lay down our competitive nature, our competitive spirit, We turn our eyes to them wanting to see others flourish. And when we apply that wisdom in our own lives, we too will thrive. Wisdom is a spiritual gift, and it's given by the Holy Spirit for us to use in the service of the Lord. God gives us his wisdom to bless and benefit other people. Divine wisdom is displayed in healthy patterns of life, in good works, and in virtues like humility and mercy. Divine wisdom is a gift. There's nothing we can do to acquire it in our own power. And most significantly, this godly wisdom is embodied in Jesus Christ. When God grants us that wisdom, it helps us be more like Christ. The ultimate choice in life comes down to this: whom do we serve? Do we aim to please ourselves and follow our own desires? Or do we aim to please God, and do we seek to follow God's leading? We need divine wisdom to tease out those competing threads in every decision we face, right? And the best way to do that is to seek God's wisdom and to lean into "Thy will be done" from the prayer that Jesus taught us. Before the pandemic, one of my colleagues, Kathleen, was in a quandary. She was on contract with the church, and it was winding down. She really wasn't sure if she should renew the contract or to leave to follow a new pursuit. See, a friend of hers had recently reached out and invited her to join him at a nonprofit. Now, Kathleen was excited about the possibilities that work would offer, but the new position would require her to work longer hours and to be farther away from home. And that was troublesome to Kathleen because her two kids were still in elementary school. Now, she loved her current job, and it was easier on her family, but the potential job had some really interesting possibilities and prospects. She didn't know what to do, so she asked to meet with me. Kathleen filled me in on the joys and the challenges of the current position, and she also talked about the nonprofit position and the dynamics that were in her home and her fears of working longer hours and being farther away. To her, the choice really wasn't clear. It wasn't clear to me either. And so we turned to God in prayer to bring Kathleen's decision before him. So I prayed for her for a little bit, and I stopped, and I asked her, "What is God showing you?" She shared that with me. We talked about it a little more, and we went back to prayer. This went back and forth for a little while, but suddenly, both of us felt our hearts on fire. We opened our eyes, we looked at one another, and we felt goosebumps from the tip of our head to our fingertips to our toes. All at once, clarity came, and we both had the same answer. Now, the most incredible thing about that experience was the sense that we were both on holy ground. It was like Moses in the burning bush. We really had a powerful encounter with God in my office. I hope that God gave us that experience because we invited God to guide our conversation and to lead us to God's will for Kathleen's decision. Now, I must confess, I don't have the burning bush in my office. It doesn't happen all the time I talk to people. But it does happen often enough for me to know that it's nothing that I'm contributing to the conversation that gets us where we need to go. It's all from God's perspective and God's gift of wisdom. You probably want to know what the answer was. What did she choose, right? She decided to ditch the church. She started her new position on Capitol Hill. It was really exciting for her because she loved the ways that God used her in that assignment. Now, eventually she moved on to something else, and That nonprofit job, though, was the springboard for a lot of good things that followed. All because Kathleen sought God's path for her life, and she trusted him. Even from our own human perspective, that might not have been the choice we would have chosen. Kathleen was more interested in thy will be done than her will be done. There's more good news from this passage, because James promises us that if we ask for God's wisdom, God will give it to us abundantly. God's supply is endless. God will continually refill our cup with wisdom as long as we ask, so that we use it to illuminate God's perspective on an issue and to make someone else's life better. We need to go back to the first chapter to hear God's promise about this. So just mark down James 1:5 for later on when you need this. James says, "If any of you is lacking in wisdom, ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given you." That's it. That's all we have to do. We just need to ask. There is a caveat, though, at the end of verse 3. If we ask God for wisdom in order to use it for our own pleasures, then God will not honor that prayer. Spiritual gifts, such as wisdom, have a distinct purpose, and they are not to be used for evil purposes. But as long as we ask from a place of humility and the desire to follow God's perfect will, God will generously share God's wisdom with us. So what holds us back from seeking God's direction and God's wisdom? Perhaps we don't think to ask. I had a friend who was a lot of fun. I loved hanging out with her. And it was easy to hang out because her son was smack in the middle grade-wise of my boys. And she lived just down the street. So anytime there was a snow day, remember those back in the day? A snow day, or just hanging out, we would get together and watch our kids play. But while I enjoyed our friendship, my boys did not. One of them told me that they didn't like who I was when I spent time with her. That's a terrible indictment. I heard what he said. And so I asked God about it. God convicted me. My boys were right. So I made the choice to curtail our friendship and spending time with her. And it sort of fell away, as those things do. But I realized that I never stopped to ask God if that friendship was one that he wanted me to develop or nurture. I never even gave it a thought. Is it easy to ask God for wisdom? Sometimes. And sometimes the clarity and conviction arrive quickly, so the choice is really obvious. But other times it's difficult. Sometimes we must wait for the answer to come. And we all know it's really hard to be patient. Sometimes the answer isn't what we want to hear. Or God asks us to do something that we don't want to do. It was hard for me to let that friendship go, but ultimately I wanted to be obedient to God, and so I did. And in the end, God poured out his blessing on me. When we start seeking godly wisdom and stop using our own wisdom to make decisions about the big and the little things, changes will occur and positive outcomes will come about. We will be more closely aligned with God's will and purposes. Our relationship with God will grow deeper and wider, and we will become more like Christ, which is our sole aim in life as Christians. So how do we lay down that human wisdom and take up the godly wisdom? And then how do we use it? The key is found in verses 7 and 8. James encourages his audience to submit themselves to God, to bring their desires and behaviors under God's authority, to lay down those wicked habits and those selfish longings. And we too are called to embrace our humility before the Lord. When we turn towards God, that reorientation helps us to turn away from our temptation to be self-centered. That reorientation helps us resist the siren call to sin, and it gives us the strength we need to flee from the devil. But it takes more than that to find peace. We are also called to draw near to God, and when we do, we will find that God draws near to us. And it is from that place of intimacy and connection with God that we find our peace and security. When we're in God's embrace, we can let go of our own wants and desires and seek God's perspective instead. And when we do that, when we drop our guard to God, we will be transformed into holiness, and we will be able to stand with integrity before God. In verse 8, James demands clean hands and a pure heart. We can't focus on those things if we're focusing on our own pleasures, right? Clean hands and pure heart means that they have been scrubbed from sin through the forgiveness and grace that God extends to us because of Jesus Christ. And that way, that path, is open to any follower of Jesus. God does invite us to walk closely with him, to develop characteristics that are Jesus-like, characteristics of patience and kindness and generosity, to be filled up with love so that we can pour that out to others, to be more thoughtful about what we say, and our actions will be kinder. When we walk with God, we have access to divine wisdom through the Holy Spirit. And we use that wisdom to make decisions that are aligned with God's will and purposes, rather than anything that might elevate our own self-interest. The outcome of this walk with God is peace and a harvest of righteousness. That's what James promises us. When our lives are aligned with God's purposes, we will leave a trail behind us of peace, love, grace, mercy, and goodness, and that will fill our world with blessing. When we live lives that seek God's will and perspective on all matters, our motivations, our behaviors, and our actions will glorify God and bring honor to his name. What decisions are you facing? What behaviors or attitudes do you need to surrender to God? How are you living your life? James writes that the very best outcome is to give up our desires and seek what God desires for us, to ask God for divine wisdom in every circumstance. It is only through God's will and God's purpose that we can live our best lives. Let us pray. Holy God, thank you that you offer your perfect wisdom whenever we ask. Help us to lay down our own desires before you, so that we may be open to you and your desires for us. May we honor and glorify your name through every decision we make. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
We're glad that you could be with us today. If you would like more information about our church, visit our website at nationalprez.org. That's nationalprez.org. Help us spread the good news of the gospel by sharing our podcast with your friends and giving us a rating. If you haven't already, be sure to click the subscribe button. See you next week.